For a few minutes before we go to prayer, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles to the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 9. Our subject is going to be pleasing the Lord. As we have just sung, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? You know, when we speak about this matter of pleasing the Lord, we need to make a few introductory comments. We need to remember that in Christ Jesus, we are accepted in the Beloved. Our standing before God is simply the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been imputed unto us. And the only righteousness that God will accept is the righteousness of His Son. We understand that. Ephesians 1, verse 6 reminds us that we're accepted in the Beloved. But yet, then again, there are some verses that speak to us about the need to be accepted by Him and that we are to seek to be accepted by Him. However, those verses are not referring to our salvation, they are rather referring to the matter of our walk and our reward before the Lord. And even then, anything that we do that would be accepted by the Lord needs to be done as we yield ourselves to the power and the righteousness of Jesus working through us in our lives. There is no such thing as seeking to be accepted by the Lord in the energy of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh certainly is flesh. Notice 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, this is not referring to our acceptance in Christ Jesus before God in salvation, but it's referring to the matter of our walk and our rewards, because in verse 10, it says, for, and that preposition connects the thought, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not for the determination of salvation. That has already been covered. You wouldn't even be there because you would not have been raptured in order to be present at the judgment seat. But it's the determination of rewards. And having been dealing with the subject of accepted of Him, it says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. 1 Corinthians 3 calls it wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, or precious stones. Certainly, we desire to hear the well done, good, and faithful servant, and that's the accepted that is being referred to in 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Now, I want to point out to you 7 additional verses that speak about the subject of pleasing God or being accepted by God. But understand, please, that it's referring to the second aspect of our acceptance, the matter of our daily walk as we yield ourselves to His power. Are we walking in fellowship with the Lord, in obedience, walking in the Spirit, and in that sense, finding that He is well pleased with our walk with Him? The first verse is Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. And it deals with the subject, the first way that we can be confident in pleasing the Lord is, number one, in coming to faith in Christ. That's the first way. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, the phrase in the flesh does not mean carnal Christian. That's the first mistake that many, many make. Because in verses 5 through 8, it's contrasting the person who is walking in with the Spirit within him, the saved person, versus the unsaved person who is described as the mind of the flesh. Frankly, the King James translation does not really help you in making a distinction. It almost, if you're not careful, can lend itself towards your thinking that carnal mind is referring to 1 Corinthians, the carnal man, and it's not. We'll see that in a minute. Verse 5, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You want to know why the unsaved people walk and talk and have a worldview like they do? Because it's expected. They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, now there's the believer, they mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, to have the mind of the flesh, the mind of the unsaved person, that's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why there ought to be a big difference between the life of the believer and the non-believer. And notice verse 7. Because the carnal mind, now the King James would translate it in the adjectival sense, but it's literally because the mind of the flesh, that's describing the unsaved person. The mind of the flesh, literally is how it reads in the Greek. The mind of the flesh is enmity against God. See, nowhere in the Bible will you see that a believer is an enemy of God, but the unsaved man is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. And by the way, how many times do you see people trying to religionize? Am I coining a term there? Religionize the lost. Moralize the lost. Try to make the lost smell right, act right, sound right. Well, you know what it says here? The mind of the flesh is at enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. So that shows you why they feel about the Bible the way they do. But then it says, neither indeed can it be. In other words, the unsaved man, there's no way that you can make him be a believer, act like a believer. It would all be a facade. But notice the difference, though. It goes on to say this in verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So antithetically, if you're in the Spirit, that means being saved, you're going to please God. If you're in the flesh, which means being unsaved, you're not going to please God. So the first way to please God is to be a child of God. Number one, coming to faith in Christ. And I'm not going to deal in great depth with the next scripture because we've preached on it in depth in the past. You know Romans 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice and finish it, holy, acceptable unto God. So the second way for us to be acceptable to God, number one, coming to faith in Christ, Romans 8:8. Then number two, dedicating our lives to Christ. It's acceptable unto God. It's well-pleasing that we do that, when we dedicate our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that process of yielding is actually giving him first place, where he will walk his life and live his life through us in the power of the Spirit. Let me show you a third way that the believer may be found accepted or pleasing him or accepted of him. And that is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. This is in the context of suffering. And it says in verse 20 of 1 Peter 2, what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. When we suffer wrongfully and do not retaliate and continue to do right and do well, that is acceptable unto God. It pleases God. As a matter of fact, the original calls it a charis. It's a grace. It's a grace because it's given unto us. And we're willingly suffering for his sake. Now, fourthly, the fourth way that we can be confident in pleasing the Lord is found in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Does that faith end in getting saved? It sure doesn't. Look at all of the things that you all have gone through in the years that you've been saved. And you have never been able to put down the shield of faith. It's been one fiery dart after another, one trick, one tactic after another that the devil has thrown at you to try to veer you off path. There's no way that you can live one day without exercising biblical faith. And the Word of God says that with faith, we can please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is coming to God, believing that he is. He's in control. He's the determinator of the outcome. He is our safeguard. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, number four, by walking in faith, we are able to please him. And again, keep in mind that we as a parent, you know, a parent loves his child, has an unconditional acceptance of that child. I love every one of my children as they were growing up in my home. But, you know, sometimes they did things that didn't please me. Now, it didn't mean that I disowned them, did it? Or I wasn't going to feed them for a week or do some other abusive behavior. My love and acceptance, and they were my flesh and bones, I'd never turn away from them. But yet, at the same time, the behavior can be displeasing. And that's what the Lord wants us to walk in faith in. Now, you're in Hebrews, turn to chapter 13. I'm going to repeat these seven ones to make sure you have them all. Notice Hebrews 13 and verse 16. We can please him by giving generously. Look what it says in Hebrews 13, 16. But to do good and to share, literally, communicate, to share, it says, forget not. You know, it's easy to forget. We get spiritual amnesia. We forget to do good and to share. And it says, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, remember, you can never earn a right standing with God. That's through Christ Jesus. But we're talking about his being well pleased with our behavior and our yieldedness to the Spirit of God, who earnestly is grieved when we fail to walk in fellowship with him. Let me give you two another one now. In 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. We may be accepted of him. And we are accepted of him when we share the gospel. It says in here, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read all the verses. Verse 1, you yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Contention and opposition was always there. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust. That's basically the stewardship concept. We were put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. So you see, when we share the gospel, when we proclaim the word of God, we don't do it to please men, we do it to please the Lord. And the Lord is pleased when our motives are right. I recently had a conversation with a pastor that was being challenged in many ways, accused of not preaching the word of God properly and biblically. And I know that pastor was exactly doing that. And I told him, I said, you know what? When you get up there, you don't preach to please men, but you preach to please God. I shared that with Charlie, too, when he got up there to give the word of God. You know, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as having the oracles of God. And that's why a young college student can preach before a group of seminary professors. But you know what his mindset needs to be? I'm prayed up. God has given me a message. And I know that everyone there needs to hear it. And it's going to be delivered in the power of the Spirit. And that's how we can please the Lord. Let me give you one last one, and it's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John 3:22, it says this, whatsoever we ask, we're concluding with a prayer verse here, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing or acceptable, you see, in his sight. So we please the Lord in our obedience. Let me give you the seven that we're looking at here in our evening together. Pleasing the Lord. We are accepted of him. We please the Lord, number one, by coming to faith in Christ. Number two, by dedicating our lives to Christ. Number three, by suffering willingly for his sake. Number four, by walking in faith. Number five, by giving generously. Number six, by sharing the gospel. And number seven, by our obedience. The Lord is well pleased. Oh, may we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And every one of these 7 points, may they be produced by the power of the Spirit of God as we yield ourselves to the Lord as an instrument of righteousness. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we thank you that you are our righteousness. And yet, Lord, we're your ambassadors in a foreign country, and we want to give people the right opinion of you. And Lord, we're to walk worthy of the vocation to which we are called. So, Lord, help us to be acceptable in your sight by yielding ourselves to these virtues that we've studied here this evening. And, Lord, all of us fail. May we confess and agree with you about that and confess our sins. And, Lord, may we continue to serve you and to continue to lift up that shield of faith in service for you. Be with us now, Lord, as we go to prayer. We want to offer a prayer for every listener on Sermon Audio Ministry as they and many faithfully listen to the Word of God. And we pray for the needs as a congregation for them this evening as well. And pray that they would trust you and walk in light of these 7 principles that we've shared together. Bless us together. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.